I've titled this morning's sermon, A Mother's Love is a God-like Love. The text will come from 1 Kings chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 16 through 28. And to give you just a little bit of a background, King Solomon is on the throne, and he has a little bit of a dilemma. He has two women who are actually prostitutes, who've both given birth to a child. One of the woman's babies had died, and the other tried to steal the baby. And so now King Solomon has to try and figure out which of the two is the real mother, because the one that is not is trying to steal her baby. So 1 Kings chapter 3, starting with verse 16. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "Pardon me, this woman and I lived in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night, took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put her by my side and put her dead son by my side. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son that I had given birth to. The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours and the living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says, 'My son is alive and your son is dead.' While that one says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, 'Cut the living child in two and give half to each one and half to the other.' The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, 'Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him.' But the other said, 'Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his ruling, 'Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother.' When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice." May we have the wisdom of God to administer justice and to find truth. Amen? I came across an interesting story where a little boy was wondering, what do I get my mother for Mother's Day? And it so happened that he had asked the neighbor girl. And the neighbor girl said, I know. This is what you can do. Tell your mother that from now on, you promise to keep your room clean. That you will brush your teeth before you go to bed. That you'll no longer fight with your brothers and sisters, especially during dinner." And the boy had answered and said, "You know, that is a good idea, but I was hoping for something more practical." Mothers don't always have to get the best deal, but that's a part of what makes mothers so great. They don't have to have our best for them to be their best. They don't have to have our best for them in return to give us their best. Irregardless, they still love us dearly. And as we can see in this text, this mother was giving of her best. The story in our scripture has been shared throughout the ages, for it's a story that demonstrates the wisdom of Solomon. It demonstrated how he was able to determine who was the real mother and who was not. And interesting that although he is recognized for his wisdom, little is said that it rested on the absolute trust that the real mother of the child would be revealed, because a true motherly love cannot stay hidden. And that's my first point. And I'd like to demonstrate this by just a 20-second video. If we can bring that up. This is a mother, doesn't know that this is her son sitting as the next patient. How precious is that, huh? Okay, Chris. A mother's love cannot stay hidden. Oh, yes, it was the wise wisdom of Solomon. But his wisdom would have been worth nothing if he had not banked it on the fact that the true mother's love of the child would come to the surface, thus proving which of the two was the mother. And that is why, that's the way a mother's love is. He knew that he could depend on a mother's love to reveal the real truth. This reminds me of an experience I had while I was growing up, and I hope you don't perceive me as a bully. But we had a lot of guys on the block who were really, I mean, super athletes. One guy went to become the pitcher at a tryout camp for the White Sox. Some of the others could box. And, you know, after a while of getting picked on, you get tired of being on the bottom of the pecking order. And so I made up my mind, I'm going to pick on someone. And I picked on the neighbor boy named Dan right in front of his home. And you know what I found out? I found out that that not only was not wise, that was a big mistake. Because within 20 seconds, I saw his mother coming out with the broom. And I could tell by the way that she was holding that broom, her intentions were not to sweep the sidewalk. A mother's love cannot stay hidden. In one of our previous churches, there was this mother and husband who had 12 kids that they raised on the farm. As often is the case, the little boys always liked to try and tag along with dad when they could. And this one winter day, there must have been probably at least three of them tagging along with their dad. And I think he had to work on the fence out in the field. And when he comes back in, the wife, Bess, looks and then says to her husband, Dwayne, "Where's Nick?" And he looks around. He goes, "I don't know." Dwayne, telling me the story, says her countenance changed. She went and put on her coat, and they retraced their steps through the snow. And like some people, but not here, they found their son Nick had decided to take a nap in the snow. He said, "My wife picked up our son, and it was as if she was taking 6-foot strides." He said, "When I asked her, 'Can I carry our son?' she said, 'No.'" A mother's love cannot stay hidden because it is a God-like love. You see, God's love for you could not stay hidden. It's why he gives angels to help watch out over us. Why he gave the rainbow to enjoy. Why he gives the rain in its due season for our crops. It's why he gives the flowers and why he gave us life. But most importantly, it's why he gave us Jesus Christ. God sent his son because he saw that we were lost in darkness and needed light and direction. He gave us his son because he was hoping that the world would respond to his love and come to him for the forgiveness of sins through his son, Jesus Christ. It is this love that brings Christmas. It's this love that allows us to have as well as celebrate Easter. After they crucified him, some of his last words were, "Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they do." His love, despite they crucified him, could not stay hidden from them for them. God allowed his son to die an excruciating, painful death on a cross, that not only would we call on him to be our Savior, but so that in hopes we would follow him as he says we need to. Because he loves us, before he left, he said, "I will not leave you as orphans." And he said, "I'll give you something which will be a piece of myself that will be able to reside in you." It's called the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit enters into a person's life, they become filled with the love of God. That too is why a mother's love is like a God-like love. Like a mother who wants to fill us with her love. So God, once we became saved, filled us with his love. The scriptures tell us, when one gets saved, that the love of God literally enters into their heart. Romans 5:5 says that, imagine if you would, a picture of God's love. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5:5 that what God does is he fills our hearts with his love. When the love of God enters into somebody's heart, it's very difficult to keep quiet about it. When you fell in love with your wife, or when you fell in love with your husband or fiancé, could you keep quiet about it? Certainly not. Well, how much more when the love of God pours into a man or woman's heart, you will find that it cannot stay hidden. Once I was witnessing to a man, trying to relate to him, "You need to receive Christ as your Savior." As I was witnessing to him, he says, "You know, you remind me of one of my sisters." He said, "Every time I talk with her, I can't have a conversation with her without her some way interjecting God into the conversation." Well, there's a reason for that. I tried to relate to him. See what has happened? The love of God has been poured into her heart, and she can't keep quiet about it. It cannot stay hidden. And you know why? She's telling you and bringing God into every conversation. It's because she wants you to experience the love of God that she has experienced. Like a mother's love that you would not be ashamed of, maybe sometimes embarrassed by, but not ashamed of. So God's love is in her, and that's why she's talking so much about him. God's love becomes evident when it enters into a person. The Apostle Paul makes mention of this in his closing letter in Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, he says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion," or your version might say, "fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and amen." The communion of the Spirit is a communion of love. Even Jesus made this clear, that one of the distinguishing factors that proves whether one is a child of God or not is if the love of God is in them. You see, like today, back then, there were those who were claiming that they were Christians. Claiming because they were proud of their religion. And so he had to deal with a few of these religious people. And this is what he said to them. John chapter 5, verse 42. He said, "But I know that you do not have the love of God in you." You see, this is another way in which you can know whether you're really a Christian or not. It's whether you have experienced and you know that you've experienced God's love at work in you. And each of us needs to examine and question ourselves, has that taken place? Do you know? Has it become evident? Has it revealed itself? If it has been born in you, then there will be this propensity within you to want others to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. It won't just convict you, it will compel you to say something to others so they would come to know the love of Jesus Christ. You may not always say the things that you want the way you hoped. It may not come out perfectly. But this driving force is unrelenting, and it won't let you be at peace. Oh, you might stop, and many Christians do. But you won't be at peace if you do, because the Holy Spirit, which is a part of the love of God, will constantly be giving you this desire to witness to other people. If God's love is in you, you will have this natural tendency to want to tell others of their need to be saved, of their need to be born again. If that desire is not in you, then there is a good chance it is because the love of God has not been poured into your heart. And if that's the case, then that is all the more reason to doubt whether you're a true Christian or not. People who say that you have your religion and I have mine are saying that because they're trying to make people keep quiet. They're trying to get them, and sometimes us, to keep silent. God's love is like a mother's love, and it cannot stay hidden. It cannot stay silent in time of need. Like in our video or in our text, there was no way that this mother was going to keep silent. There was no way that she was not going to go to extremes if need be and even ask a request of the king. This morning I ask you to be honest with yourself and with God for your soul's sake. Do you prefer that people keep quiet and just keep their religion to themselves? Or does it please you when you hear someone else witnessing to somebody about who Jesus is and the cross and that the reason he died was to save them from hell? Does it please you or does it bother you when you hear someone say, "Jesus is the only way to heaven"? Do you know why they say that? They say that because Jesus Christ has been poured into their heart. And when Jesus Christ has been poured into your heart, you know that he's the only way. Amen. When you hear people saying he's not the only way, they're saying that because Christ and his love has not been poured into their heart. Jesus Christ is real. His love is real. The personhood and the experience of Christ is real. And they know it's real because the love of Christ is in their heart. It's extremely important that each and every one of you this morning be absolutely honest with yourself. Because otherwise, if you will not be about whether you're truly a Christian or not, you will blind your heart from ever being able to see that you need him. Instead, you will go on and one day stand before God and find that you have deceived yourself. And notice, I'm not saying that the charade is over, because I truly believe, just like back then, there are many people who believe that they are Christians and they are not. It's not that they could not come to the truth, but because they would not humble themselves, they did not come to the truth about the true state of their soul. Like these people Jesus was talking about in chapter 5 that he had to address, these people will find out that they are not the children of God. I remember one day when I got saved when I was 19, so it had to be probably somewhere where I was 16 or 17. I finally said this to myself, something's wrong. I'm a religious person. I'm really living by the Ten Commandments far better than even this preacher boy up the road. And we were close friends, so I know. But I could tell when I met some others who said that they were Christians that they had something that I did not. I had my religion, but they had a love for God. And that was a distinguishing factor between my religion and theirs. It was as if they experienced on a personal level God's love for them, and they couldn't help but reciprocate back a love for God. It was the first step in my coming to a true saving knowledge of Christ. And it is your first step to head you in the right direction, honesty. I can't help but feel in my heart right now there are some here who know exactly what I'm saying. You know deep down something is missing. Something isn't quite there between you and God, and you know it. The reason why you need to do this is so that you do not miss God. Humble yourself. Humility helps bring honesty, and without it, no one is going to be able to admit, although they might be in a church, that they're not a Christian. Tell them, Lord, I sense that I do not have this love that others I can tell and I can see have for you. Lord, I can tell something is different between me and them, because when your name or the topic comes up in some kind of public setting, I have a tendency where I prefer they would just keep quiet, where some of these other people just seem to open up. Tell them, Lord, I sense something's wrong. Tell them, Lord, I sense that these people are different than me. I may not know exactly how or what or why, but I know it's true. And one way in which I can tell is their love for you. Tell them, Lord, I need your love. I need you to pour your love into my heart. In essence, what you're really saying to him is, Lord, I want a relationship with you where I know you and I know that you know me and have singled me out personally. Pray to him. Open up your heart to him. Confess to him. Lord, I sense what that preacher is saying is true about me. Does a flower stay closed when the sun comes up? Can joy be hidden and stay hidden when a mother has given birth to her child? Can the joy of a mother who receives her son back from war, or say, was captured and has returned home, can her love stay hidden? When you are captured by God's love, it doesn't stay hidden. Can light stay hidden in darkness when the light switch is turned on? Neither can the love of God stay hidden in the hearts of those who know Him as their Savior. Amen? This is why some talk openly and they're not embarrassed about the conversation, and some cannot. Some have Him and some do not. Which of the two are you? Which of the two are you? Isn't it time that you become honest with yourself and with God about your soul? Isn't it time that you give your life to Christ by humbling yourself enough before God by saying, I feel that tug right now. I feel some weight in my heart. I sense it is you, God, not just some preacher up behind a pulpit preaching. Tell Him, Lord, I want you. Pray to Him, Lord, I confess it's true. I've been that person. I am that person. Say to Him, Lord, please save me. Fill my heart up with your love. If you'll do that, God will do it. Because God did not die on a cross to deny us the experience of His Son. A closing thought is that a mother's love is a God-like love because it is self-sacrificing and it is faithful to the end. Where she is willing to deny her own happiness at times if it will benefit her children. And as we've seen in this case, where a mother was willing even to give up her chance of ever having her baby again. This woman revealed that in verse 26 when she pleaded with King Solomon, saying, please, my Lord, do not kill the child. Let her have the child. What heart-wrenching words that must have been for this woman at that moment. Knowing full well that it might mean she'll never be able to hold her baby again. But willing to let this other woman have her child if it will save her child's life. Denying herself for the sake of the child, showing that she was faithful to the end. That is a Christ-like love. Jesus, for the sake of saving us, was willing to lose His life and was faithful to the end. This reminds me of a true story. Although I can't remember all the details, I remember the most important things. It was a lady who was driving with her infant child in the back seat, and they were traveling on a road that had a very steep embankment. And for whatever reason, I can't recall why, but she ended up driving off the road. The car ended up flipping down into the bottom of the ravine where there was a shallow creek. And the car started to fill up with water. They were trapped in the car. In fact, she was pinned. And despite what had to be, no doubt, obvious pain, she saw the water level rising and her baby's head starting to go under the water. She reached out and was able to reach and lift that baby's head up out of the water. I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing it was her husband who called to let, you know, to report that his wife was missing. And when they finally found the wreck, they found that the mother was dead. But although she was dead, her arm was still holding up that baby's head. I'm sure in part as the cold water was making her heart, her arm fridge, maybe even frozen. But although dead, still holding up that baby's head. A mother's love is a Christ-like love, for it is often faithful to the end. Everyone who is here, I say to you, do not take your mother's love lightly. And yet, greater than that, do not take Christ's love for you lightly. He too held up his hands up out on a cross. And although died, while dying, he was saving your life as in trying to save your soul. So to speak, holding your head up is what he is trying to do against the floodwaters of God's judgment that is going to come when the world stands before him on judgment day. Do not take his love lightly. Recognize how needful it is for you to give your life over to him completely. I ask you this morning, whether saved or unsaved, either way, say to him, I will commit my life to you, Lord Jesus. If you know that you have him, I ask on his behalf that you hand over your life the way you know that you should have, in total obedience and in total submission, as you should have done long ago. And if you know that you have never really received him as your Savior, that you do it now. That you call on him and even say to him, Lord, I've been a fool in taking your love lightly. I will not do that anymore. I ask that you would fill my heart with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Every once in a while I do this, and I promise I won't embarrass you, but could we have every head bowed? Could you bow with me? And for those of you who know you have Christ, pray that the Spirit would work. I'm taking this moment for those of you who can sense from what was preached that you need to hand your life over to Christ. And you're willing to do it by raising your hand. Can you do that? Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, you've seen these hands that have gone up. They're signifying to you, and as they signify to you, Lord, we trust that you're writing their names in heaven. We pray, Father, that you would bear witness by your Spirit, by helping them all the more recognize and know the love that you have for them. And that, Father, you would encourage them and you would help the rest of us to be a faithful friend to them by helping them grow in you and to become strong in you. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Please stand if you would.